Welcome to Common Ground Berlin, where we delve into important issues that matter to you in the German capital and beyond. I'm Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, and with me is our host for today's episode, Eden Brockman. Hi, Eden.
Hi, Soraya. Today, we'll be talking about something that affects so many people. While Germany mandates healthcare for everyone, it's a different story when it comes to mental health care. In fact, there are barriers to accessing psychological services, especially right here in Berlin. SKL Glücksatlas, or Happiness Survey, the University of Freiburg collaborates on, has ranked Berlin as one of Germany's three unhappiest states for several years. Accessing psychological services in Berlin, and Germany as a whole, can be especially difficult for those who don't speak German fluently. We'll start out with some personal stories about those struggles, both here and abroad. The first is that of my friend Gus Gaston. They have a unique perspective as they sought such services both in their hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and in the Cologne area, where they've lived for over the past 8 months.
So I started out on DoctorLieb, which is a pretty good website for finding doctors, but the therapists on there, I didn't really have much luck with. I think there was one lady that I ended up talking to, but her profile said that she spoke English and she did not speak any English. I was sent another link by my program that was just a really long list of therapists in the area. And I spent a long, long time emailing a lot of them. And the vast majority of them told me they couldn't take any new patients. They had like a long waiting list that they could put me on, but they didn't really see a possibility for when I could possibly be seen by them. I had a few people respond asking about my insurance information. So they were asking if I was self-paying, privately insured, or publicly insured. And I mean, I'm privately insured, but I would technically be self-paying because I would pay it and then wait for the reimbursement. Like the insurance won't be going directly to the therapist. A couple of them had kind of, they didn't really love that. So they were like, I don't think we can work together. And so that left two people.
How many? Not necessarily exact, but around how many did you reach out to?
I think it was between 25 and 30 people.
Okay.
I don't really know what happened with one of them. I think it just kind of fell through, but I ended up with one therapist that worked out, and I have been seeing her ever since. She's great. She isn't in the office a whole lot, honestly. Like, I can only see her on Fridays, but out of everyone that I emailed, she's the only one available, and I've had a really good experience with her, so it's working out.
You talked a little bit about this, but your experience having the private insurance, but you first self-pay, what was that like for you with therapy? Do you think you would have had a different experience on public? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I've talked to some people, some actual Germans that are also trying to get therapy, and they were really truly shocked that I had found someone at all. And then I asked them, like, well, have you been trying these lists, etc.? And they were like, yes, but we're on public insurance and they won't take us. So I'm pretty confident that if I had public insurance, I would not be in the situation that I'm in, which is really sad. But the bills for therapy get pretty expensive, so having to pay them out of pocket and just wait for a reimbursement is tough. But my therapist is really willing to work with me on, like, due dates, and also, like, there's certain diagnoses that she can give me that work better with insurance. I think working with a therapist that is being paid by insurance, she has to give a diagnosis, which is why, honestly, a lot of therapists in the U.S. are not taking insurance anymore because they don't want to give people diagnoses. They just want to talk to them. So it's kind of really working out that she has given me this diagnosis and we're just kind of working with the insurance and moving forward that way. So
kind of going back to your experience in the U.S. and seeking therapy back in the States, what was that experience like for you and how was it different than seeking therapy in Germany?
I have been going to therapy for 10 years now. And the first therapist I saw, my mom found for me, which was actually kind of crazy. It was like one day I told her some hard stuff that I was dealing with, and the next day I had an appointment. When that therapist went private and she wasn't taking insurance anymore, I did have to start looking for therapists on my own. I think I was like 18 at that point. And I was mostly just researching practices in the area with several therapists. I started with the same practice that my therapist was at, just talking to another therapist, and she wasn't great. It wasn't a match, we'll say. But in terms of finding other therapists, it was kind of the opposite way from how it is in Germany. So I talked to my health insurance and asked them, like, who are some of the providers in my network that are already covered by my insurance? And then we kind of went about it that way. So I was working with a list of people that already definitely took my insurance, and then I would just reach out to them individually. So instead of, like, the therapist being like, how are you going to pay me? It was more like, I already know I won't have to pay you directly. It ended up being that, like, I was working with a psychologist also who was prescribing me medicine. So it kind of worked out to just, like, do them together anyways.
I also spoke with Diana Matsinkovska, a Ukrainian-born Berliner who coordinates for Ukrainian refugees at Humboldt University in Berlin. She says cultural and language barriers also make psychological services difficult to access.
My friend, her mother, she was evacuated from Ukraine, and she was also in a very dire condition, and she needed the medication, actually. And I said, okay, there is this psychiatrist and she can help you, but there was a Russian woman on the reception. And when that friend called and said, okay, I need someone like who is Ukrainian and who would speak Ukrainian, because my mom just cannot speak Russian, she's traumatized, you know. And that Russian woman on the reception, like, she screamed and shouted on my friend and said, like, no, I don't know if it doesn't matter if the psychiatrist is Russian or Ukrainian, she's a doctor, la la la. So my friend, of course, didn't go with her mom to that psychiatrist. I think it's rather like a personal thing, but I'm pretty sure it was not the single case which Ukrainian actually faced. Even without the language barrier, it's really hard to find a place and to get an appointment. And then if you are like specifying that, okay, I need a woman, okay, I need someone who speaks Ukrainian or Russian, okay, I need someone who is not like on the other end of the city, then no chance you find someone and you can get an appointment like within a, I don't know, 6 months at least.
So in the past, when you have had a counselor, what was the quality of the therapy that you received like? Did you feel like you could connect with your past therapists?
I had my past therapist who was Ukrainian, and that was like a digital therapy. That was actually great. She is great. She has a lot of experience in that. She is internationally certified and so on. So that was really, really great. But she stayed in Ukraine and then she moved as a refugee somewhere. And at a certain point for me, that was difficult to communicate with her because I've just felt this guilt, you know. I have more or less stable life here. I have a work, I have study, I have my husband, I have everything is more or less fine in comparison to her life. And I was like, that's not the dynamic you are expecting with your therapist, you know. And then I had a few meetings with the other, the German psychotherapist and psychiatrist she was. She was actually great. We communicated in German language, but she could also speak English. And she was really supportive and everything. The problem was that she moved to another hospital and that was not anymore possible to get an appointment. But generally, yes, I had a great experience.
So why is getting mental health care in Germany so challenging, as we just heard from Diana and Gus? And what are the consequences for people who need counseling and can't find it? To answer these questions and more, I'm joined via Zoom by Jolan Mandik from the podcast Get Help Berlin, and here in the studio by Berlin-based psychologist and former social worker, Irene Joubert. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So you each heard from Diana and Gus. What stands out to you about their struggles in finding mental health care in Germany? We'll start with you, Irene.
Well, it seems like a pretty standard case for foreigners here in Berlin, particularly the waiting time in order to get a first session with a therapist. Right. So if you have a public insurance, it's very likely that you have to reach out to like them 30 therapists before you get a chance to even get a Sprechstunde, that they call it. It's the initial interview that you have in order to be able to be assessed if you can even start therapy with that therapist. So it's a pretty common experience here in Berlin. And I would say that it's also very frustrating, especially when you have any type of emotional issues. And it's pretty frustrating to have all this rejection and all of these moments where you're just struggling so much in order to get some help.
Yoran, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think these stories are very surprising at all. And it is just shocking to realize again and again how hard it is to get mental health help. Like, it really requires you to be quite functioning as a person to even emailing 30 therapists, keeping track of who's rejected you and doing this whole thing is on top of. It's almost like finding an apartment or something like that. And I remember when I made my podcast about this, there's a search engine for therapy, therapy.de, it's called. And I looked up within a radius of, I think it was 10 kilometers around Mitte, the website listed 1,800 or so therapists. And a third of them spoke English, but then other languages were much less available. So the third most common one was French. And there was all of 82 therapists listed. And then it goes down, 62 speak Spanish, 27 offered therapy in Turkish, and then all of 8 therapists listed Arabic in their profiles, for example. So yeah, it's understandable. If you can't speak German, to find therapy is manyfold harder.
Yoran, to add on to that, what are some of the consequences of not having enough access to psychological services in Berlin and across Germany?
Oof, I'm not sure I'm the right person to ask that. That's a big question. Untreated mental health has huge repercussions for society as a whole, right? These things become entrenched. Illnesses become chronic. Worthwhile investment to give people therapy when they need it as soon as possible. There's studies on this too.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking about a case of a person that I know that was struggling a lot with depression, and he wasn't able to reach out to a therapist through public insurance. And sadly, he missed out on a lot of dates for his renewal of the visa because he had no energy, he had no help. And eventually he got deported because he wouldn't manage to do all the things that needed to be done because of his emotional state. So I can imagine that there are also many cases like this where at an individual level, there are many consequences to the lives of the person. And also I would say that at a cultural level, it is a loss for Germany because Germany desperately needs foreigners. Their older population is increasing. Their demographics are at risk. There are not much people being born. So it is a fact that Germany is competing with the United States, with Canada, with Australia in order to get kind of foreigners in that way. And this is one of the services that they cannot provide as well as other countries. I would say that that is the risk also at a cultural level for Germany.
Are there an increase of suicides as a result?
That as well. Yeah, that's a pretty tricky one as well.
Do you know any figures if there are increases in suicide as a result of less access to mental health care?
I have no numbers on that level, but I do have one quote from this study that I quoted when we did our show on this. So Technica Krankenkasse, the TK, they did a study and basically they found out that every euro spent on therapy is returned threefold. So you save 3 euros for every euro you invest in therapy. So in economic terms, it makes sense at least. Yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that. That's very helpful. Diana also talked to us earlier about cultural barriers to therapy. This is what Gus had to say.
There are stark differences between how my therapist here works with me and my therapist at home. I mean, it's pretty typical of German culture, but she's a lot more direct instead of just like asking me questions like, why do you think you did that? Or why do you think you feel like that? Sometimes she's just like, you feel like that because of this. I said something my first session that was kind of sad. And then I just kind of like laughed about, I was just like, you know, it's so, and I kind of gave a nervous laugh. And she just looked at me and said, you do that a lot. You just laugh things off. And I was like, okay. And she's like, why do you think you do that? And I've never been asked that before in all 10 years of therapy in the US. She's just very like quick to pick up on things that I do and ask me about it. And I actually really like that. I think we're moving pretty fast in terms of like what we're working through. But in terms of barriers, I think it's more just like sometimes she has an idea of something she wants to say to me and she can't quite get it out in English, but it really is not I think it happens maybe once every other session or something. It's not really a problem. So,
Jelena, are the cultural barriers worse for non-Westerners living in Germany?
That's a good question. I would say it's hard to define if it's better or worse. I do know that, for example, for us in Mexico, the way that we relate is very different than Germans relate. You can see that when you're talking to someone. For example, I always feel that when I am talking with someone that's Latin American or even Indian, we talk very fast and we interrupt each other. And it's not like a monologue, like Germans lit a whole monologue and then there's some silence. And then there's another monologue from someone else. So in that way, when I went to therapy here, I found it a bit anxious provoking that it would not be a back and forth, like a conversation with between Mexicans. It's like a ping pong match, you know. It's more like playing golf with a German. And yeah, it can make you feel very like either weird or left out or sort of that the other person is not really understanding you. Of course, that can always be talked about. And I think that's the more important thing in therapy, that these cultural differences need to be talked about and that the therapist needs to know a bit about the cultural background of the person in order to have a successful treatment.
Mm-hmm. As we've heard, there is a shortage of therapists who speak languages other than German or English so that immigrants have access to mental health care in their native tongues. Why is that?
Well, that's a very complicated and complex problem. But two other factors that I can think of right now is that, one, the amount of places, so the amount of therapists that can be practicing at a given state based on the demands and based on the planning of the city. And if I am correct, that calculation was done in 1992 or 1999. And of course, the demographics have changed. A lot of people have moved to Berlin, and there are not enough places of therapists to cover the needs of the population. That's from one end. I heard about some therapists that even they, if they have studied here and they have the knowledge to practice, they need to move out to other states in order to give therapy because there's not enough places in Berlin. They're all saturated. So that's from one part. And another factor that I was thinking about is that maybe, and this is maybe just a personal hypothesis, right? But I am very curious about the German education system. And it's a bit different than the one that we have in Mexico or the one that you guys have in the US. You start being at kindergarten, that is similar. And then you go to elementary school, which is Grundschule. But then when you turn 10 years old in Germany, you get assigned to a different type of middle school depending on your grades. So if you have good grades, you go to the gymnasium. If you have medium grades, you go to the Realschule. And if you have bad grades, you go to the Hauptschule. And your whole possibility of profession is determined at that point. So the people that have very good grades from elementary school, they can apply to professions like doctor, lawyer, psychologist, musician. And worse grades, you can only apply to technical schools. I've known a lot of people here in Berlin that they told me, oh my God, I would have loved to study psychology, but I never had the grades because that was determined very early on in elementary school. Now, of course, that system, I think, has pros and cons, right? Germany wouldn't have the amount of Nobel Prizes it has, maybe, if it wasn't for that education system. But at the same time, one of the costs, I think, is that only the people who have the better grades at elementary school, which is very early on, they can study for psychologists and for being psychotherapists.
That is a lot of pressure at a young age. Joran, growing up in Germany, can you speak to this at all?
I mean, it's true that we have this three-tiered high school. I have no idea what effect that has on therapy and the availability of places for therapy. But I have researched in depth the first reason of why places are limited that Irene talked about. And if you want, I can explain a little bit.
Please, would love to hear.
You said it right. In 1999 is when reunified Germany made the first plan for a base plan for therapy. It's called the Bedarfsplanung. So a plan, like a need plan, sort of. And when they did this, they, and by the way, the responsible body is not the Gesundheitsamt, it's the GBA, the Gemeinsamer Bundesausschuss, which is all of 13 people, five of which represent doctors, five of them represent health insurances, and three of them are impartial members. But these 13 people basically decide what goes in Germany's health system. It's very much undemocratic, I would say. But so in 1999, this GBA, the Gemeinsamer Bundesausschuss, they made the first Bedarfsplanung. And the way they did it is to count all the therapists that Germany had at the time in West and in East Germany and use that as a base number. And they were like, this is good. This is going to be the base for the foreseeable future. And there's problems with this. One of them is that East Germany had a much lower per capita quota of therapists than West Germany for, I'm not sure exactly what reasons, but East and West have differences, right? And the other reason was that a new law was just launched the same year or a few months earlier before they made this plan, right? And this new law allowed psychologists to become therapists. Before that, it was only medical doctors who could provide therapy. And so all of these people were coming on the market as therapists, but they weren't planned for in this 1999 plan. And so the number of therapists that is assumed still today as the base number for Germany is just much too low. And this number has been changed over the years. Last, I think in 2019, 800 places were added by the GBA. But the task of amending this plan year to year is not of the GBA, it's of the Kassenärztliche Vereinigung, which is basically a lobby group for doctors that are in the public health insurance system, right? And they are tasked with amending these plans according to actual needs, which sounds logical, but it's not actually happening. And I think a reason for that is that the workload that therapists can take on is way, way overestimated. I think the base number, look, I'm scrolling right here through through my text that I wrote a while ago, but I believe the base number assumed for therapists of patients they can see per week was 60. But that, of course, is if you do the math quickly, right? Okay, wait, give me 1 second. I'll pick it back up. Hang on. Yeah, so insurance companies basically say that it's plausible for a therapist with a full license to see 60 patients a week. And if you do the math there, they need to see 12 patients a day. And sessions are usually 50 minutes long, right? And that's, of course, without all the paperwork and the scheduling and all the after work and all this care work that goes into it. Even with 30 patients, many therapists work more than 50 hours a week. And that's in a job that has a very sizable mental health toll as well, right? So assuming that a full license can actually provide healthcare for 60 patients a week is an overestimation. And that paired with a base number of therapists that's much too low, and a bunch of other reasons that maybe are too much detail now, are the reason that Germany has way too few places for publicly covered therapy.
I wanted to mention also, for Diana, it was easier for her to get medication than therapy.
I started feeling that something is not right, and I asked my house arzt if she could suggest something, because it's just completely not right. And she was like, yeah, I can prescribe you something. So the family doctors, they can do it very well. And they're usually trained for that. And also she said, like, okay, if you're not really feeling you're okay, you can also ask and we can like prescribe you a few weeks in a rehab or something, which is always a great option if you're in a very like acute condition. I didn't use this opportunity though, but that's great to know about that. But I was also not sure about the house arzt, because like in Ukraine, we have, you know, a bit more like medicalization of everything. And if you get the prescription for the medicaments, usually a good doctor would firstly suggest to do some health checkup, some blood checkup to see like what is your condition. And here it's like the house doctor or even the psychotherapist, the psychiatrist, they can like, oh, we can give you this and that and that. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, but is it really working? But with the psychiatrist, that was fine. I had some blood checkups results, so I showed that to her. And my psychotherapist at that time, she also suggested that in my condition, we could like have this and that. And the psychiatrist here in Germany, she agreed that yes, that would be the best case. I was really lucky because the medications worked for me. So for me, that was really a great experience because, you know, that from the very first try, I had the improvement of my condition already in like 5 or 6 months. But I know that that's not always the case, like not for all people it works from the very first time.
Is Diana's experience typical? Is prescription medication for mental illness easier to access than care?
I can't say exactly, but I can speculate a little bit because therapists are not the people that give you medication, right? Those are psychiatrists. So that's two different people you want to see for it. And I can imagine it being much easier finding a psychiatrist to talk to for medication than it is to find a therapist to go through 60 or so sessions. Yeah, that makes sense from that perspective.
You mentioned also a quote from Josef Hecken in your article in the magazine The Berliner about mental health services. He's the head of the Gemeinsame Bundesausschuss, and he said, "You don't need a psychotherapist for every citizen. Sometimes a bottle of beer will do." I know. And how does this quote reflect German views on mental health care today? And Johan, we can start with you. We can open it up.
Yeah, that's another speculative one, I would say. Josef Hecken did say this in 2013 at some public health conference back then. And it was a big scandal. But I do think that there is a big stigma still about mental health care. And there is a prevalent, like a mood of like wanting to roll your eyes at someone who like needs mental health care. You know, it's like, oh, just have a beer, relax. Like, it's not so bad. So the stigma is still there. I don't think that's the main reason that therapy is so restricted still. I think there's other reasons that weigh heavier. But yeah, for sure, there's a stigma on it. And there is an underestimation of mental health care's importance, for sure.
Yeah, it seems also like Berlin deals with the emotional pain or also existential crisis in a very hedonistic type of way, that it's about being free to decide how you party, when you party. And it's pretty much, or it seems to me as a foreigner, like dealing with problems by indulging in pleasure, sort of. It was a very funny quote for me to hear. It made a lot of sense watching the hedonistic lifestyle of Berlin.
Yeah, I don't think Josef Hecken was referring to hedonism there. I think he just meant a wind down beer after work, you know, on the couch.
Oh,
but yeah, that's another interesting observation.
Yeah, lots of interpretations.
Yeah.
What would each of you advise as the easiest or best way to find therapy and mental health support in Berlin and in Germany as a whole?
That website that Jonah said, it's therapy.de. Therapy spelled like Therapie in German, not with the Y, but IE at the end. And you can put your postal code, as he said. And in my opinion, that's where most people that I know have found therapist, mostly that speaks English, maybe not their particular language, but that is, I think, for foreigners and for Germans as well, a very, very good way to get a therapist. In case where it's an emergency, you can always call 116 and 117, and then they can treat you there instantly and get you redirected to a therapist more quickly. So that's another way to do it if you are feeling like you cannot keep looking anymore.
Okay, Johan, and for you?
What's the easiest way of finding therapy?
Yeah, what would you advise is the easiest or best way to find therapy and mental health support in Berlin and in Germany?
Okay, I believe what Irene said is right. The therapie.de website is a good one. And also this hotline 116-117 is set up to try to help people find a therapy placement. But they're totally overworked. There's massive wait lists. But there is a way of getting therapy that is a bit hard to get to, but it is kind of a workaround that I've gone through myself and that I've written a step-by-step guide for. And that is called a Kostenerstattungsverfahren. You start also by calling 116-117, give them the chance to find you something. But in the meantime, while they most likely fail to do that. You email a bunch of public therapists and collect rejections in a spreadsheet. And then you also, at one point, start emailing private therapists and you find one, which is much easier, still hard, but easier to find than public therapists. And what you do with your spreadsheet where you've collected all your rejections from public therapists is you basically go to your health insurance and say, look, the system has failed me. I could not find a public therapist, but I do need help, which is certified by a form you get when you go to an initial consultation with a therapist, which is also fairly easy to organize. And you say, so because the system has failed me, I need to go to a private therapist and you have to pay for it. Now, this isn't a fail-safe method at all. Like, some health insurances are much more lenient with this than others. The proof you provide is literally just your own spreadsheet. But it worked for me. I went through the process myself and this worked really well. So Kostenerstattungsverfahren is kind of a workaround. Kostenerstattung means cost reimbursement. So basically, your public health insurance ends up paying for the private therapist.
All righty. Those were all of our questions. Thanks, Irena and Joran, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for your interest.
I'm Eden Brockman. Thanks for listening to this episode today on Common Ground Berlin. Our regular host is Soraya Serhadi-Nelson, and our social media editor is Noor Trabelsi. Our producer is Axel Scheele. Common Ground Berlin is funded by a grant administered by the German Ministry for Economic Affairs and Climate Action. And our partners are Goethe Institute, the Checkpoint Charlie Foundation, and the German Marshall Fund of the United States. All of our episodes are available wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X at CG Berlin Podcast. And be sure to check out our website, commongroundberlin.com.